sinned that this man was born blind? Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church of North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 315. It's November 3rd, 2015. Today, yet another reason or two for human suffering. I'm going to take you to the book of John and show you three situations where suffering is involved, and it seems to be just a little bit different in each case. And that's the point of all of this teaching, was to show you that one size doesn't fit all when you're suffering. I'm in John chapter 5 to begin with. I think you remember the story of the healing at Bethesda. And Jesus saw a man there who had been ill for 38 years. He hadn't been at the porch for 38 years. He had just been sick for 38 years. But he'd gone to the porch perhaps as a last resort because he heard that miracles were happening there. And Jesus asked him if he wants to get well. And he did want to get well, and he gets healed, and he's just so happy about that, of course. But something else. At the end of this story, in verse 14, Jesus found him in the temple. This was later on, after the bad guys came into the thing, you know. But he finds Jesus again. And he says, you're well. Jesus says to him, you're well. You know, it's really great, isn't it? But don't sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. We don't want to get away from the basic reason for suffering in the world. And it's sin. From the beginning, it has been sin. From the Garden of Eden, it's sin. We understand that it might not be your personal particular sin, but it might be, though. Let's don't just hem-haw all around all of this. Let's please put this down as one of the items on this study, that your sin, your personal sin, can very well be the reason for your suffering. And if God heals you and delivers you and you sin again the same way, something worse could come. That's all Bible. We've kind of laid that aside. We don't like talking like that today, as we don't like talking about many things today. But it's still true. God's word is still true. That's John chapter 5. How about John chapter 8? A little bit different flavor. Here comes the woman who, because of her sin, was about to suffer death at the hands of the leaders. Was it just? Yes, it was just. No, this is not, Jesus never told them that this woman was doing a wonderful thing and that all Israelite women ought to do that, be unfaithful to their husbands and so on. No, this was sin. And he made a point of telling the lady at the end, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. I forgive you because you want forgiveness. It's obvious you want forgiveness. You're sorry, I can tell. I forgive you. But from now on, don't sin anymore. You see, Jesus puts it together again. Sin can produce suffering. And sometimes, though, Jesus intervenes even before the suffering begins here or in the middle of the suffering. You might be really experiencing a punishment from God. But you can reach out to God, as this woman does. You can reach out to God, and God will heal you anyway and forgive you, for sure forgive you. But often he will heal you. That's clear teaching in Scripture, I think, right? No arguments out there? Fine. Then look at John chapter 9, and I'm going to blow it all away again, because we can't put Jesus in a box. Oh, how we try to do that. We see somebody suffering, and right away, we know what happened. But it's not always that way. It's always connected to some sin somewhere, because sin is in the world. But we can't jump to conclusions like the disciples did here in John chapter 9. They're walking along, he and his disciples, and they all see this man that was blind from birth. blind from birth. Those are three awful words to say together. But it happens. It's happened to many throughout history. It's happening to people right now, people being born blind. Not a great majority, but they're out there. You've perhaps seen, met, or known one. Perhaps you are one. Right away, the disciples, they understand what's going on. Yeah, we dealt with that woman, yeah, and caught in adultery. We dealt with that man at the pool. We understand, oh, this is about sin. So, who was it? Was it this guy that sinned? I mean, how could that be, since he was blind from birth? That's an interesting question, don't you think? Why did they ask that? I think they believed in the total depravity of man, as David taught it. In sin did my mother conceive me. She was in sin, I was in sin. Doesn't matter how you want to interpret that. Sin is just, it's the disease that we all got at birth. It was passed on to us. Now you can hear my phone ringing over there. And what do? I'm going to push the pause button. All right, we took care of that. I've got to remember to put my phone on mute when I'm preaching, right? So here's a blind man. The disciples are assuming that something had gone wrong in this man. Just because he was born in sin, therefore he was being punished with this blindness. He deserved it because of sin. Or his parents had done something wrong in their life, like David did. Remember, his child was born dead, basically. The child was born but then died soon after. That was because of David's sin, we're told. He was forgiven of the sin, but he had to be spanked a bit too. So that's what they're thinking. And I don't think Jesus was mad when he gave his response. These are natural responses, and in some cases they're really the truth. But there's more to it sometime. There's more to it. And Jesus said it wasn't the man, it wasn't his parents, it was something else. Now, he's not saying here, we know from all the rest of the scripture, he's not saying that this man never sinned as he grew up. He's not saying the man wasn't born in sin. He's not saying the parents never sinned. He's not saying that. He's saying that's not the reason, the ultimate reason for this sin, for this sickness. And that really helps us to, well, what do I want to say here? Makes us step back again. You got to step back from Scripture every once in a while and see the big picture. We know from all the other Scriptures that sin and sickness go together. That sickness is in the world because of sin, punishment, suffering, difficult times. It's all there because sin came into the world. Oh, what a corrupt world we have. But God wants to glorify his name in spite of the sin, in spite of what man does, in spite of the punishments that he has to put on, in spite of the justice that has to be meted out. There's something that trumps justice, and that's mercy. God wants to have mercy. And in this case, God wanted to have not only mercy and grace shown, but he wanted himself, God, to be magnified. He wanted himself to get glory from this situation. And so, of course, we see this man totally healed. What a great... Why, the story itself, which has been passed down through all these generations, has just blessed so many people. And God has been glorified through that story. I read it again just today. It just so happened, as they say, that it was a part of my devotions. I wasn't planning that, but there it was, John 9, and here it is, John 9, in this time. These two are not normally together, my devotion time and preaching time, but it was today, and I read it again, and I get blessed again. It's such a wonderful story. If you haven't read it lately, read the whole thing. Put yourself in the place of the different characters. I love drama, and I like to pretend that I'm the blind man, or I'm pretending that I'm Jesus in the story. I'm pretending I'm the Pharisees. Oh, man, what a drama unfolds here. Unfolds. And God gets glory out of it. And God got glory out of it in that setting, too. The Pharisees got to hear the truth. The man got healed and gave glory to God. The parents, even though they were so hush-hush and quiet, they understood something was going on. And all the people that heard about it, they glorified God. So that, even though he's not denying sin here, he's just saying the ultimate reason for all this trouble that's come into this guy's life is so that I, Jesus, and my Father will be glorified. Works of God might be displayed in him. Sin is an awful thing, but forgiveness is a wonderful thing. And you and I need to get this forgiveness message out to the people around us, not to condemn them in their sin. Jesus didn't condemn here and anywhere, but that the works of God, his great forgiveness, might be displayed in them. Have you seen a person saved from sin recently? Have you heard about it? Isn't it a wonderful thing that happens when somebody's sins are taken away? That's the greater miracle, which is easier to say. Jesus said, your sins be forgiven you or be healed. For him, it's easy either way. Don't shy away from healing because those other folks do it. Just pray for them. You don't have to be a showman. You don't have to be loud and boisterous. Just in faith say, Lord, would you heal this person? You might be blessed one day to find out that God wants to display his work in that too. Watch out for trouble, though, when it comes. Every time there's a miracle in the New Testament, somebody good gets in trouble. Did you know that? Read the miracles. Read all the things that the apostles did. Read all the things that Jesus did. Almost every time you see something negative coming right after that. But isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it to ask God to do these things anyway? Well, there it is. There it is, my study on suffering. I'm done with this. And I wish we were all done with it as far as the experiencing of it. The teaching of it, there's no problem with that. That's easy. It's like when it's in the mouth, remember, God gives us the word, like to John, he gave it to Jeremiah, and I think maybe Ezekiel, three different times, I believe, it's in the scripture where they took the word, and in their mouth, it was sweet, this tastes good, why, this is fun to teach. But then, it goes down and becomes a part of your whole system. It becomes a part of your life. It's not so sweet. The things I've talked about. I'm talking to people who already know it's not sweet what you're saying, but it's true. But it's true. So as I said, one size doesn't fit all in the area of suffering. There's a long list of reasons why people suffer. I've given you most, I think, of the biblical reasons. There are also seasons of suffering set by the Father. Not by our own sense of right and wrong. The reason we can kind of understand the season is what bothers most of us because we want it to be over today, yesterday. I know when I went through something a few years ago, I just couldn't believe that God wasn't, boom, healing me right that minute. Why, I was doing what you were supposed to do. I was calling on the name of the Lord, and I mean calling. You could hear me around the block, I'm sure. All night, some nights, just pacing and trusting, believing, knowing that my God was real, but nothing happening at all. The seasons are set by the Father, not by our own sense of what is right and what is wrong. Some suffer for short seasons. Some people suffer all of their life as it pleases the Father because he knows what we're able to bear. And our Father does all things well. I disagree with the great faith healer of our day, one of them, out in Redding, California. Good man, good teacher in my opinion, a lot of the things he teaches. But he also teaches that if human fathers today punished their children the way we say our Heavenly Father punishes us, they would be accused of child abuse. I don't like that statement because really he is accusing the Heavenly Father of child abuse if indeed the suffering that we're going through is by his permission, by his hand. Oh, the enemy had to get permission from him to do this. It's the enemy doing this for sure, but he got permission from the Father. You see how it works in the book of Job. The devil can't do anything without permission, but God doesn't have to give that permission except his love demands that we be tested and tried and hurt sometime to see what's really in us. He does all things well. We like that phrase when it's in the New Testament and people are getting healed and the people are saying, oh, he just does everything well. Can you say he does all things well in the midst of the trouble? When Jesus was here, he showed exactly how the Father feels about human suffering, and he relieved so much of it. One day, he will alleviate all of it. Until then, we pray, and we ask. Yeah, we ask, Lord, why me? Not in that angry, bitter voice, but in sincere questioning, we ask him, Lord, why? What do you want out of this? I'll try to give it to you. Do you want immediate deliverance so I can show your power and glory and your name will be displayed? Then I believe you for that, God. In Jesus' name, I believe you. Or do we want deliverance later to show his grace? Or do you want some lessons to be learned? Is there something you need to teach me? Is this about my growth? Is it about growing up and being perfected and holy in you? Something I couldn't have done if I were in my fullness of my body? Do you want me to share in the very cross of Jesus Christ? Is that what this thing is about? All I know for sure is that most suffering is not obvious in its source, its duration, but all of it has a purpose. Can we believe that? Can we trust God that he knows what that purpose is and it's okay? Don't just let it go. I don't mean just let it go. Oh, well, I'm going to just suffer the rest of my life. No. You can get out of it. Sometimes you're going to get out of it by prayer and believing him. Other times you're going to get out of it internally by understanding him. Clinging to him, he'll let us know his secret thoughts about it. Meanwhile, we carry on. We carry on as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Find out what it's about and respond accordingly. Amen? I think I've said all I can say. We'll take a break tomorrow. What do you say? Yeah, let's take a break. I want you to go through my website. If you really want to come back and hear me, listen to the same things that I say. I've got all kinds of stuff on the website you've probably never heard. Will you go and look for it? I'm going to take a break. One day, when we return, it's time for Leonard Ravenhill. I'm talking about revival. And I can't wait to listen to him again. It's good stuff that he gives. That will be on Thursday, Leonard Ravenhill. Until then, God bless you. Remember how we started with the question, who sinned that this man was born blind? I hope you know the answer to that now. God bless you today.